today. I have to tell Bill, when he puts things on the internet and everything, that this sermon, I was thinking the title would probably be, I thought it might sound too pretentious, but I would call it A Sermon in Three Movements. doesn't sound pretentious. Sermon in Three Movements. It's because the Lord gives me tunes to go with scriptures. And so every once in a while, I do scripture song here for you. And there's three songs. And we're going to talk about each pericope, each unit of scripture in Isaiah 55 today. So you can listen to the song, kind of let it roll around in your mind and your heart, and then we're going to talk through it. And so the first movement, so to speak, is verses 1 through 5. And it's English Standard Version. The second one is going to be actually from NIV 1994, I think, but we'll talk through it using the ESV. It was a song the Lord gave me a long time ago, and so I learned it in that translation before I started using English Standard Version. So here's the first one. And I pray that all these come out right. I apologize for pressuring my wife a little bit on this song before. I thought, I don't want this to be ironic, you know? And all of a sudden I can't sing everything because I was pressuring my wife. So I'm sorry, Lord. Come everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come buy and eat. Labor for that which does not satisfy. Listen diligently to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live. And I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Behold, I make him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation shall run to you, because of the Lord your God and of the Holy One of Israel. For he has glorified you. Come everyone who thirsts, waters, and he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me, hear that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast sure love for day. Behold, I make him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that did not know you shall run to you, because of the Lord your God and of the Holy One of Israel. For he has glorified you. So, come everyone who thirsts, come to the waters.
It's your mic.
Oh. Come everyone first, come to the waters. So, everyone who thirsts, in order to thirst, people have to be rid of their trying to attain salvation through their own righteousness. And they have to be done with all the false enamoring of the world and all its sins and glitter and glamour and all the stuff that it offers to you. And then you can taste and see that the Lord is good and enjoy Him. Now when it says, come everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. Did anything come into anybody's mind? Any other scriptures come into anybody's mind? I'll tell you what scripture came into my mind, and listen to this. The Pharisees heard the crowd muttering these things about him. And the chief priests and the Pharisees sent officers to arrest him. Jesus then said, I will be with you a little longer, and then I am going to him who sent me. You will seek me, and you will not find me. Where I am, you cannot come. The Jews said to one another, where does this man intend to go that we will not find him? Does he intend to go to the dispersion among the Greeks and teach the Greeks? What does he mean by saying, you will seek me and you will not find me? And where I am, you cannot come. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So those two paragraphs, do you notice how perfectly they go with Isaiah 55? And maybe you haven't made the connection before, but isn't that one of the wonderful things that after you've read the scripture years and years and over and over and over, all of a sudden you see a connection. You didn't see one before, but it's there. It was there all the time. It was there all the time. You know, it was there. So come everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. Who wants the Holy Spirit active and alive? The Spirit is active and alive. I'm just saying, who wants that Holy Spirit active and alive in your heart? He's always active and alive and holy and good and strong and mighty and pure and just moving you one step at a time, doing the things you should do, being where you should be, thinking the thoughts you should think, and not wasting time. When I look at my life and how much I've wasted, I'm just amazed thinking, if I had all the money I spent on all that junk, now, if I would have made a wise choice and not done all that, if I had not been focused so much on that, my mind wouldn't have been so polluted. I would have been maybe quicker. I know I would have been quicker in God's will, where He wanted me to be. How much? Oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. I've wasted it. So help me, Jesus. Listen. It's a musical song today.
But, you know, I'm just saying, come everyone who thirsts. Come to the waters. And who's he saying? Who's supposed to come? Who?
Thirsty.
Everyone. And everyone, according to my understanding, everyone means everyone. Jew and Gentile. Now, he's saying everyone come because you have to yield. It's not like universal salvation, but it's offered to everyone. Come. Come if you would take it. Come. And he wants to give you his Holy Spirit. And it says, come everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come buy and eat. Don't have any money, but I can come and buy. We don't have the resources. Our righteousness is filthy rags. We cannot get what God is offering by saying, God, I'll give you this, you give me that. You know? Certainly there are conditional promises in the Bible. I'm not saying they're not. There are. But I'm saying when it comes to salvation, when it comes to that water flowing into your life, that water which is so beautiful, I think it's in Ezekiel where it talks about the river of God flowing, and everywhere it flows, there's like abundant life, blessing. It's amazing. But you can't get that water yourself. It's by Jesus Christ and what he has done on the cross, and you have to trust him and believe in him. And turn away from the world, turn away from your works righteousness, and turn away from also all the filth and the stuff that we've invested in and we've wasted time on, the things that maybe the world even says is good things, but it's just something that's a distraction. You go to Jesus, and then Jesus will tell you what of the world is appropriate for you to live a good, blessed, healthful life. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. And when I hear about wine, Psalm 104, gladness of the heart, gladness and joy, and overflowing abundance. It's like, it's the overflowing stuff of life that is just like the amazing, abundant blessing of God. The abundance, the joy, the peace, and the gladness, and just the extravagant love of God. And of course, wine, as we talked about last week, reminds us of what does it all? Blood. The blood. It reminds us of that too. Because that's the essence and the central part of everything. That's the crux of the matter, the cross. That's the turning point. That allows us to turn, takes away, breaks down the wall of hostility, rips the curtain in two from top to bottom. Because God does it. We don't rip the curtain from the bottom to the top because it's not our effort, it's God's. Can't come by and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Who can put a price on it? It's priceless, this great gift that God gives us. And when I think about milk, what do you think about milk? Well, when I think about milk, I think about I think about the milk of the Word. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. You hear that? So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. So I'm weighing out things in my mind. I was thinking like, oh, this morning I shouldn't have talked so much about all the little things in between, you know, thinking about Kira's glasses and thinking about Lisa and her playing the flute part. She wasn't ready for it. I should have just taken, you know, that your wife gives you a look sometimes, and sometimes you just need to take a look and go on.
Not four times.
I already paused. Okay. But anyway, but I was thinking, like, it's a good thing, though, that it's not pretentious. It's not hypocritical. We're not trying to pretend to be something we're not.
And so it's good to kind of share honestly how I am and how I think, but I also need to focus and remember it's worship. It's a time in the Holy of Holies, in the big concert hall where you're approaching Jesus Christ and you want to offer him something that is holy. You know, at least something that's a holy reflection of him. Because it's not the holiness comes from us, it's from the Holy Spirit working in us. So you think about all that. It's beautiful. Without Christ, money, it's God. He does it all. Come buy wine and milk without money and without Christ. How wonderful it is, the milk, pure spiritual milk. To be in his word, cleansed daily, cleansing by the washing of water with the word. To be drinking that milk, drinking that mother's milk, you know. Babies, they look pudgy, healthy, vibrant, pink. They're just full of life. How wonderful it is to see a new Christian, isn't it? Who are fed by God's milk. God the Father giving us that milk of the Word and just so enjoying the Word of God and tearing, not, you know, just tearing out of here on a Sunday morning and ready to go and study the Word some more. Talk to somebody today and say, you know how much work those ladies have to do for that Elijah study? There's a lot of homework for that. So men, be warned. The ladies are getting spiritually smarter every day. And their looks are going to mean a lot more. So we got to listen up and pay attention because those ladies are studying. Guys, are we going to keep up? Are we going to keep up?
Sure.
All right. Glenn's going to keep up. Thanks, Glenn. Yeah. All right. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? And you know that, the bread that doesn't satisfy. That's what I'm talking about. That's, you have your own stories of all the time. Oh, I was after the bread that didn't satisfy. If I only would have known back then what I know now. Listen diligently to me and eat what is good, and delight yourself in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live. It's life and life abundant. And I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast sure love to David. And David, there's a person that's supposed to sit on David's throne for eternity. And these verses here are calling out for Messiah. They're calling out for Jesus. You should be hearing Jesus when you're hearing this stuff. Behold, I make him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that did not know you shall run to you. Because of the Lord your God and of the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Doesn't it say in the Bible somewhere, doesn't it tell us in the Bible somewhere that it was too small of a thing for Jesus to come for the Jews, but I will make you a light also to the Gentiles, that, you know, we are coming in, like, we are engrafted branches. Didn't Jesus say, like, he has sheep, another sheep not of this fold, he must bring them too, you know? How wonderful it is that we're included in all this. So God offers us this. And he wants us to thirst, and he wants us to be satisfied in him with that continual pouring in of his Holy Spirit. Oh, Holy Spirit, please bless us every day. We have the Holy Spirit in us. We want to be always overflowing, that people can see the Holy Spirit in us and hear the Holy Spirit in us and sense the Holy Spirit in us by the stillness we have that we know God. Let's go on to the next song. This is Isaiah 55, 6 to 11, and I'm going to sing it according to NIV 1994, but you can follow along. And notice that scripture correctly I read from earlier on, those two paragraphs from John chapter 7, it also talked about Jesus saying, you'll seek me and you won't find me. That there's a time that if you look for Jesus, I mean, like, Jesus was right there. Jesus was telling them things, but they weren't listening. You look for Jesus and you might not find him. Isn't that a scary thought? Maybe it's a little bit of explanation before the song, but you know, people is like, what do you think about this? What do you think about Jesus? What are you going to do with all I've shared with you? We talk about some people who don't know the Lord yet. We love them to know the Lord, brothers and sisters and moms and dads. And like, oh, you think, oh, they're right there. Well, do you want to accept the Lord? Do you want to pray? Do you want to commit yourself to the Lord? And they're like, I don't know. I'll think about it for a while. I don't know. Who knows if they say no, whether their heart's going to be the same heart the next day or the next week or the next month. Maybe they're not going to have a heart to even ask the question. Who knows if you give up the opportunity today, whether that door is going to be open again tomorrow. Seek the Lord while he may be found. It's important to make the most of every opportunity. It comes to my mind that there's like somebody who is like preaching and say, well, give you another week to think about that or something. And I'm not sure, but something happened. It might have been like the Chicago fire or something. And they felt really disciplined by the Lord because of like, I am never going to do that again. I am never going to give the congregation another week or another day to think about this. Because who knows whether that next week is going to be there. Can you imagine somebody saying, think about it for another week, and all of a sudden the Chicago fire or something happens? They say, oh, they were right there. I could tell. I wasn't going to push too much. Seek the Lord while he may be found. So think about that, and then we won't spend too much time talking about this one since we already talked a little bit.
Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God. For he will freely pardon. Your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without water.
Your thoughts.
my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I set it.
So seek the Lord.
Seek the Lord while he may be found.
Now, come to God, he'll have mercy on you, he'll freely pardon. And freely pardon is like, you know, no matter how many times you have fallen, no matter how many times you've sinned, you come and you give it all to Jesus. Give them all, give them all to Jesus. Just give them all to Jesus, he'll take it all. He'll take it all and give you a fresh sheet of paper, no matter how many mistakes you've made. Peter, you know, how many times must I forgive my brother when he sins? Seven times? I think he thought he was being impressive because it was probably like, maybe like three times or something like that was the expectation. I can't remember, but it's like, it might be that. But seven, that's impressive, isn't it? Seven? Jesus says no. 70 times seven? 77? You know, he's given you an idea that God forgives completely. He wants you to forgive completely, and he'll do that if you come to him. But you need to come. Just come. And let that be known, too. That's for yourself, and that's for you to share. Oh, God can never forgive because he doesn't know how. He knows everything you did. And you can look at examples like Paul and Manasseh. Paul, you know, he was religiously sinning all over the place. And Manasseh was irreligiously sinning all over the place. Like Paul, you know, thinking he was being righteous, was sinning all over the place, splitting up families, dragging people off to prison and stuff, but God turned him around and forgave him everything. Manasseh, one of the worst kings ever, did everything sinful that he could possibly do, and God forgave him too. So let people know God will forgive them everything. They just need to come to him. Have a heart that thirsts. And maybe your prayer should be that that person that you're thinking of should have a heart that thirsts, that God will finally get them to see that their righteousness is not enough, their self-righteousness, that's filthy rags. And that God will help them finally see that the filth that they're in is actually filth. Imagine the moment when the prodigal son finally saw, you know what? I'm in the pig slop. And their slop looks pretty good. How many of my father's servants are doing so much better than I? You know, pray for them. Pray for God to break them down so he can build them up. And listen to this. It says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So you gotta try to see things the way God sees them. It's going to seem different to you. It's not going to seem the way the world works. The people say, well, you know, that's the way the world is these days. People do this. That's the way the world works. Well, you're a Christian. Your thoughts are different than that because your thoughts, you're trying to get them to where God's thoughts are. You know, you're trying to think God's thoughts after him. You're trying to be a man after the Lord's own heart, a woman after the Lord's own heart. Okay, so get used to it. And then it says this, for as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. So, the things that we see on this earth, the reality It's like, it's almost like the stuff, this is real. I'm not saying it's not real, but this is real. But like the real strong stuff, the things you're supposed to get, this is all example so you can understand the undergirding. So you can understand the awesome ultimate truth. And so the awesome ultimate truth, because you see, sometimes we can think, well, the heavenly stuff is like the example so we understand earth better. The earthly stuff is the example to understand the heavenly stuff better. And what I'm telling you is the whole water cycle is about the Word of God. Okay? So the next time it rains and it fills up, you know, the underground aquifers and the wells and everything, and the next time it rains and there's water vapor in the air that then goes back up and makes more clouds and everything, this is all an example for us about the Word of God and how it works. Wouldn't it be wonderful if faith, if Christian faith, true faith, was taught in schools, that you could have that connection? And the kids could learn, even, I mean, because they're teaching these kids stuff like first grade, kindergarten, stuff like, they're starting to teach things, concepts about this. Wouldn't it be wonderful to say, you know how that water goes down and then goes up and then it comes down? That's like what God's Word does. When we share God's Word with somebody, it doesn't just go out there and it's done. No, it's living and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. And the kids will be like, swords, yeah! And they're paying attention, so the boys are there, you know? And in the water, it makes the flowers. The girls are like, oh, I like flowers. So the girls are listening, the boys are listening, everybody's listening, you're saying, well, God's Word, it comes down, and it waters, it produces stuff, and then it goes up, and it produces stuff all over it. And you know what? There's a promise in the Scripture that if you speak God's Word to somebody, it's not going to do nothing. It's going to do something. How many times have you got off the phone talking with somebody or talking to somebody personally at the office or something, and you're trying to share stuff with them and you think like, oh, I didn't get through it all. I'm a failure, you know? But if you're in the Word enough that somehow in your conversation you put the Word of God in there, it is doing something. It is accomplishing something. It is not just falling to the ground. God promises us it will not return void. Hence the tragedy of Christians who are not in their Bibles, who do not hide it in their heart, and so they don't have any treasure to get out at those wonderful times. You have to have the treasure to get out so it can do something. Because if you get out there and you say, you know, I think this is about faith and it's all about your own wisdom and everything, it's like, where's the power? We need power. Power. Okay? Alright, so the water cycle. Now let's do the third concluding song for today, which is the newest song. And so, God bless it. Exactly in tune, so this is well, you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before an everlasting sign that shall
out. Enjoy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Head of the thorn shall come up a cypress. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle. And it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off.
So you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. So I wonder sometimes, I don't understand the language of birds, I don't understand the language of trees, but sometimes I wonder, like, when they are doing, you know, like when we are redeemed, and when we are doing everything according to how we are created to do it, like redeemed people. There's people like Brother Lawrence, and you can read a book by him, but like the act of doing the dishes is an act of worship. Like, do you ever think of that? Like, everything that you do, the way you do it, the attitude you do it with, is an act of worship. And so if we are really sanctified, totally redeemed, totally the human beings that we are supposed to be, we are constantly worshiping. And so I wonder, when the critters and the creatures out there are doing what they are created to do, what's worshipful about that? Now, I know things were corrupted from the fall, because there's a lot of creatures eating each other out there and being mean to each other and stuff. But you'll wonder sometimes what's going on in creation. But you know what? God, it is God's creation. And there's something to be said for when Jesus went into Jerusalem and they said, make your disciples be quiet. He said, if I make them be quiet, the rocks are going to cry out. And I read somewhere in a commentary one time, I think, like, you know, I think it was AD 70 when they were tearing up Jerusalem. Forget what people it was, Titus or Vespasian, I forget who it was, but some people tearing down Jerusalem, one had to go back, I think, to be emperor, and the other stayed there and kept on doing stuff. They were tearing up Jerusalem, and the rocks crying out. They didn't recognize the time of their visitation, and so not one stone was left upon another. Was that the rocks crying out? Because they didn't realize Jesus Christ? But the creation itself waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. It is in birth pains. The creation itself is like geared up on God. I'm not saying you're supposed to worship the creation. We are not supposed to do that at all. That is evil. You worship the Creator, not the created things. But what I am saying is that the creation that was created by God, this creation somehow knows who its creator is. And sometimes people aren't broken enough or thirsty enough or fearing enough to know that, who their creator is, and that God wants them back. So all this language, you know, we hear it throughout the Bible, just praise the Lord that His creation is His creation. And it seems like it's smarter than the people sometimes. But listen to this. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress. Thorns remind you of what? Come on. Thorns.
The curse.
The curse. No more let sin or sorrow grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make His blessings flow.
Anybody want to sing Christmas songs today?
It's July. Christmas in July.
Christmas in July? So the thorns remind you of that. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress. Cypress. What do I think when I think cypress? Well, in my mind it came like, there used to be these folded postcard things they made a long time ago when you visit someplace. Folded postcard things, and a lot of them were like maybe old pictures that were colored in and stuff, or maybe artistic drawing. I think my mom might have one, or my Aunt Betty from Cypress Gardens. Maybe there's a Cypress Gardens somewhere. Anybody ever been there? I don't know. You been to Cypress Gardens? There's such a thing? Okay, that's what's coming on mind. Cypress Gardens.
It's beautiful.
It's beautiful. Yep. Okay. Well, Cypress, I looked it up in the Dictionary of Biblical Literacy, and it said Cypress can also be referred to, or may also be the same thing that some translations of the Bible refer to as gopher wood. It could be the wood that was used to make the ark. Noah's ark. It's tall and it's strong. So, when you think of tall and strong, that's a good thing to think about. Instead of the thorn shall come up something tall and strong. Isn't that what you want to be? Tall and strong for God?
Yes. It's good in water too.
It's good in water too. Tall, strong, straight, and true. Yeah. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress. Instead of the briar, when I think about briars and everything, I think about the thorns and stuff that chokes out the that growth that God wants to have in your life. But instead of the briar, instead of all those complications, instead of all those worldly cares, will come up. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle. When I think about myrtle, what I think about? Lisa, didn't you have an aunt myrtle?
Yeah.
Aunt myrtle. Okay, so that's what I think about first of all, aunt myrtle. Then I try to think, okay, God's not talking about aunt myrtle here. Who's he really talking about? What's he really talking about? He's talking about myrtle, which is also a very useful plant. And according to the Dictionary of Biblical Literacy, which I know you want me to tell you about, it's an evergreen tree with dark, glossy leaves and white flowers. People use the leaves, flowers, and berries for perfume and as seasoning for food. The myrtle tree had a religious significance for the Hebrews, Zechariah, and was a symbol for peace and joy. Queen Esther's Hebrew name, which I think is Hadassah, Queen Esther's Hebrew name meant myrtle. Think about that. Instead of thorns and complications, he's got a picture of it. Instead of thorns and complications,
nice.
You have a beautiful tree that has multi uses, and it also represents the Hebrew name myrtle, and it's like a symbol of peace and joy. If you can read through the book of Esther, it's anything but peace and joy in much of that book. The people were hard-pressed, accused, thinking they were going to be annihilated. Esther was concerned about talking to her own husband, and there's just a lot of stuff going on, but God oversees everything, and God brings out rejoicing, and God seasons life. And God blesses us with beauty and abundance. He takes care of us. A perfume, the aroma of life and life abundant. So, when you accept Jesus Christ, when you seek Him, when you give His word out into the world, have joy about it because God is recreating, God is making His kingdom come in our hearts, and in the world, day by day. And I know there's a big contest between good and evil. You read the book of Revelation. It's a very serious contest that we need to be ready. God keeps us out of the wrath. But we still need to stand strong in this world because there's people suffering all over the world. But we should stand strong with joy. Because all those scriptures we read today, if you're with God, if you seek Him, the only thing I'm seeing in the whole picture of everything is like joy and peace and abundance and learning and milk and wine and seasoning and perfume and straightness and strength. You know? God wants to give us all that stuff. He wants to make us shine like light in the midst of a crooked and depraved world. We're supposed to shine like light. It's not always easy, but God's on our side. And He already has the victory. We already know stuff that the prophets longed to look into. That's why I could read from John 7. How much they wanted to read into... how much they wanted to understand John 7 back in the Old Testament. But they knew it wasn't time yet. They were just seeing as well as they could. But we have the blessing of seeing that and the blessing of sharing that with others. So let people know. Seek the Lord while He may be found. He'll forgive you for anything. He'll love you. He'll take you. And He'll make you strong, steadfast, and smelly in the best of ways. In Jesus' name, amen.